I think if we really look and look at our heart, we will recognize not one time in our entire life has he stood at a distance or away or abandoned us. He's been close.
From Crossroads Media, this is See Hear Love with Melinda Esterbrooks,
Season 11,
Episode Number 38.
Well, welcome to See Hear Love, and we are so glad that you have joined us today. Well, years ago, I met with a spiritual director who led me through the verses in Psalm 23. And I was going through a difficult time in my life, and I needed reassurance that I was going to be all right, that I was going to make it through, and not only make it, but one day flourish. Mm-hmm. So she brought Psalm 23 to me to read through it slowly, to meditate on it, to pray into it, and to place myself within it, and to exhale the chaos and pain that I was experiencing and inhale the shepherd's protection and peace. So I'm so grateful to have this panel here to walk through Psalm 23 together, to hear it for the first time or hear it again, and be open to learn something new. So welcome, 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 panel.
We're so happy to be here.
Yes, Helen Burns, pastor, international speaker, and mentor to the next generation, all the way from British Columbia,
all the way
right to our studio. Welcome.
Great
good to
be
have
here.
You back. Yes. And beside Helen, Sinead Litchmore, registered psychotherapist, author of a new book out,
yes.
Mommy and Me.
Yes, Mommy and Me Christian Journal.
Woo! So author now and national speaker.
Thank you.
Glad to have you here, Sinead. And Nicole Langman, award-winning author, international speaker, and Christian therapist. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks. All right, Psalm 23. I'm just going to read it so we kind of get grounded in this anchor verse. So the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul, and he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I get chills
Amen.
When you hear that, right?
Amen, yeah.
Okay, well, let's walk through Psalm 23. I've been wanting to do this for so long. Let's walk through it, learn some new things. So starting with you, Helen, God is our provider from verses 1-2. Mm-hmm.
I love this so much. It's been so good pondering this again. It's one of those scriptures that I think we get so familiar with.
Yes.
Like, oh, I know it. We know it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. We know it's one that most of the Christian community knows well. But it's been good for me to think about this once again. Yeah. Mm-hmm. My provider. This is to me, I think these first two verses, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Mm-hmm. And the whole picture of a shepherd is so beautiful. To me, this is the most beautiful picture of trust and complete reliance.
Right.
Like it to me, it is like either he is leading us or he's not.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when he is leading us, we can have a confidence, just this quiet assurance of trust that God has got everything that I need and is holding me, knows all of the details of my life and nothing's a shock to him. Yeah. He has got me. The thought I wrote this down, I thought, you know what I need.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think I know what I need, but he knows what
right.
I need.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my job is to actually trust my shepherd and think sometimes I am freaking out about something and he's like, Helen, I know what you need. Mm-hmm. I've already provided for you.
Yeah.
I've got you.
Yeah.
Nothing is too hard for me, but I need you to trust me. I need you to lean in on me. The picture of he leads me beside still waters is and in green pastures. To me, this is the most beautiful picture of provision.
Mm-hmm.
When I think of green pastures, I think about there's food and nourishment and sustenance and water to me is just life.
Yeah.
It just gives life.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I was pondering this, I thought so many times in my life, I can look back in this season of my life and see where God met me.
Yeah.
Where I thought, we're not going to make it. This is too hard.
Mm-hmm.
And God, are you really caring for me? And so he has just brought back to memory as I thought about this of a long time ago, John was a dentist, my husband, John.
Mm-hmm.
When we first got married, he got accepted into dental school. We were poor as could be when we came out of dental school. And yet we watched God. We had two children. I was very pregnant with my third daughter by the time he graduated. And then, so we launched into dentistry and that became flourishing. It was like all our our needs were met. We could provide. We were blessed. Our bank account looked really, really healthy. And then God says, I'm asking you to lay that all down and to follow me. I have another pasture, if you will, that I want to lead you to. I'm going to provide for you. And so you lay that down to go into ministry. And there was no guarantees, like none. When you become a dentist, there's kind of some guarantees, yeah. like you're going to be successful, you know. Yeah. And it was, and he asked us to just lay it down. And I thought, God, I know that you're asking us to do this. Mm-hmm. I don't know how. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of opposition, mm-hmm. people saying, you're missing it. Why would you do that? But the shepherd was asking us to follow him into a new area. And I can look back now, we've just celebrated 40 years of ministry, and I've seen the faithfulness of God. Many times it looked like, how will this provision come? When he asked us to build a building, when he asked us to start Mercy Ministries, when he asked us to do a lot of things, there was nothing that looked like there was provision, but he said, will you trust me?
Good. Yeah.
And so going back into this beautiful psalm again, I am so overwhelmed. I get tender thinking about the faithfulness of God. And he doesn't just provide. He really provides.
Yeah.
He has been an overabundant, extreme, excessive almost provider for us. And that doesn't mean, you know, lots of zeros in our bank account. It means how he showed up every single time in the most desperate places. I trust, because to me, this is a place of trust. Yeah. God, you are my shepherd, so I will not want. And he doesn't provide everything I want necessarily. He provides everything I need.
That's
and
good.
I feel like that is the picture of this. And I think it's a beautiful practice for us as women of God to just go, God, where were you and how did you meet me in that place? Because it's natural to think it wasn't enough, but he's never failed me one single day.
That's good. Provider.
One of the things I was thinking of you as you were speaking, and I always love the start of this, we were chatting about this earlier, is like, the Lord is my shepherd. And it feels like there's a big exclamation point at the end of that. It's a declaration, right? The Lord is my shepherd.
Yeah.
And then also there's this kind of sense of, it's a declaration, but there's excitement in that too, because David understood shepherding. He knew what that meant, and that we can trust him. We can trust God to be the good shepherd. And I love the exclamation idea at the end of it. It's like, the Lord is my shepherd. That's kind of a neat
And the satisfaction that comes with it is like that. I don't want anything. Like, I shall not want. Like, can you guys imagine not wanting anything in this culture? Like, we are bombarded with messages of like, you need this, you need that, buy this. But yet he's saying the shepherd is enough. And he's met all of my needs.
And I think one of the good practices in that, that, you know, God is our provider, is I think it would be really important for a lot of us, even myself, to sit back and think back over the years of how God has provided. Because sometimes we're always like in this lack mode. Oh, God, why haven't you? Why haven't you? And then it's like through the years, God has answered many of our prayers. In ways that we are evident and we see in other ways that were surprising and it wasn't what we actually thought the prayer was going to, you know, the answer to the prayer was going
to
be.
We need to remember.
I think let's remember that God has provided for us in many ways, through people, through things, opportunities, jobs. He is our provider. I think when I think back through that, it's like over many years of my life, it's been God providing for my family, for myself, through people. And so that's really reassuring.
It is.
So, okay. Thank you, Helen. Well, there's so much in Psalm 23. Yeah. The encouragement is to like go back to it too. Tonight, God is our restorer and guide, from verse 3.
Yeah. And so verse 3 says, he restores my soul. Mm-hmm. He guides me along the path for his name's sake, the right path. And what I love about this scripture as I was thinking about it was just how soul-sucking this culture and this world can be, draining, exhausting. Like, it's almost like its objective is to break our soul. Yeah. And it's there's not a promise that our soul won't be broken, but there's a promise of restoration. Yeah. And it reminds me that, you know, God has a ministry of reconciliation. He is our great reconciler. And it's demonstrated here in his verse. This verse is demonstrating his character and who he is. And it reminds us that healing doesn't come from work, right? It doesn't come from earning it, from overexerting ourselves, but it comes with rest. And rest in knowing who our provider is, who our reconciler is. When I think of the second part of the verse about he guides me along the right path for his name's sake. It reminds me of the scripture from Matthew 7, 13 to 14, where it says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many may enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Mm. I truly believe that the right path is a narrow path.
Yeah.
The right path is countercultural. It's not easy. And the objective of going down the right path is to give God the glory.
Amen.
And so when we choose to go down the narrow path, there's usually a cost. Hmm. It's usually not going to be on our own accord. Hmm. But that's why God puts us on the narrow path, so that we can fully trust him and rely on him. Like, he cannot be our shepherd if I'm going down the road that's familiar and the easiest for me. And so I think my question that I think we all need to wrestle in is like, what path do I need to take in this season where God will get the glory?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And what does that look like?
That's so good.
Yeah.
When I think of the path, and that's, again, it's such a picture of trust, because not everyone's going to go with you.
No. Mm-hmm.
There are pathways that God has asked us to walk, and it feels like this is familiar, and I like it because all my friends are here, and this just feels comfortable, mm-hmm. and God's asking us to go further. He's mm-hmm. our shepherd in taking mm-hmm. us on pathways. There's a narrow path mm-hmm. and a wide path, but the narrow path, there's a cost attached
exactly.
to it,
mm-hmm.
but he's taking us, and many times it means letting go of relationships that are not producing the character and the calling mm-hmm. of God on the inside. Doesn't mean that we just throw people away,
right.
but there's a cost to following him.
Mm-hmm.
On that narrow path, you find the most glorious people and the most wonderful people, but it comes out of trusting God that if I step away mm-hmm. from what's familiar, God, where are you leading me?
Yeah.
And I know that that is the journey of trusting the shepherd and his pathway forward for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The restoration piece really stands out as well, is because we make better decisions when we're restored.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think we can so easily be drawn in all different places when we're exhausted or we're overwhelmed mm-hmm. or we've spent too much mm-hmm. time with our screens or whatever it may be. But when we sit in the presence and be still in the presence of God, mm-hmm. he restores us, and then we can be more obedient and we can be more engaged in what he's calling us into.
Yeah.
Hey?
Yeah, and I think the restoration piece is key.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Like, I think for all things, being, you know, restored into like relationship, restored to creation, restored to God. I think that's really key, and he is our restorer.
Exactly.
So when we're like having some difficult, challenging relational situations and things, it's like we need to go to God to help us restore back those relationships.
Exactly.
And what does that look like?
And what does that look like?
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
So
good.
Restore and guide. Was that right?
Yeah. Restore.
Guide is interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because a lot of us are a bit of control freaks, and we like to be the guide.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. What do you mean? But like, we like to be, we are the guide.
But when you have the skills to actually guide and to lead people, how can you lay down those skills that have helped you and that have worked in the past? And so I think the more influence you have, the more skills that you have, I think it's harder. It's challenging. It's like, God, but I think I know better. Like, I'm telling you, if I just kept doing this thing, then everything will work out. And God's like, no, like, do you trust me?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I gave you those skills.
Yeah.
You know, I gave you that leadership. I gave you this level of influence. But do you trust me to take you on mm-hmm. this other path?
Yeah.
So what do you say to the people who are like, I want him to be my guide, but I don't hear him? Mm-hmm. How do I know where I'm supposed to go? Mm-hmm. How do I know where he is leading me? So I think it's a fair question, because some people are like, I don't hear him audibly.
Yeah.
What leads me? What guides me?
Yeah. And I think if we're not spending time with him, listening to him, in his word, talking to him, we can't hear him anyways. It's very busy, isn't it? It's noisy, noisy, noisy world.
Right.
And we think about the shepherding. The presence of the shepherd wasn't always seen by the sheep, but it was felt by the sheep because they were acutely aware of him in the field with mm-hmm. them.
I love that you've come back to that again. That whole picture of still waters mm-hmm. speaks of a peaceful environment, because where there's chaos, mm-hmm. there's no clarity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You need to get to a place of where it's just a peaceful calm, which we have to calm ourselves, because I think nothing in culture teaches us to calm ourselves.
No. Right.
And it's not just calm without thinking, but it's a calm with the intention mm-hmm. of hearing the voice of the shepherd. Because if I'm busy talking, I can't hear.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
And I think being faithful with where you're at, because even look at David. Like, yes, he became a king and he had this mm-hmm. prophetic word so early, but that didn't happen until later on. And look at the results of his faithfulness. Yeah. You know, he's able to give us songs like this out of the faithfulness mm-hmm. that he had as a shepherd.
So good.
Yeah.
All right.
Good.
Verse 4. Nicole, God is our protector, and I see there's some props beside
I was so excited. This verse is so special. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, mm-hmm. I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. There's like intimacy enters this psalm here, mm-hmm. and that we see David move from he to you. Mm. Where he, you know, he restores my soul. He leads me through down paths of origin. You are my,
wow.
you oh, are yes. my yes. father. You are my protector. And I love that David mm-hmm. is saying, your presence is my protection. And I'm really, I have clung to this verse in seasons of my own life where I have needed that sense of protection from my own self even, but also from other influences in my life. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, I can trust you, Lord. And what I love so much about this is we know that sheep are skittish. We know that they're not very bright. We know that they are vulnerable and they're mm-hmm. not actually able to take care of themselves. Mm-hmm. And the other thing we know about them too is that they need help for their very survival. So mm-hmm. David knew this as a shepherd. And so the fact that this imagery exists here is absolutely beautiful. And shepherds had really two really particular, very important tools that they took with them. They took with them.
Oh, here.
Oh, thank you.
There you go.
Oh, careful. Anything could happen.
I know.
So they took with them a rod. Now, I've been reading a book recently. A Shepherd reflects on Psalm 23 by Philip Keller. It's an amazing book. And he talks about how shepherds in all different parts of the world yeah. would actually work out the stick. They'd find a limb, they'd carve it down, they'd make it so it became an extension of themselves. It was for protection wow. of their sheep, and they were never without it. Mm. It's how they fended off predators, how they killed a snake in the grass, how they took took initiative to protect their sheep. It was an essential component. The rod is actually a symbol of protection. Mm-hmm. to keep the sheep safe. So your rod and your staff, they mm-hmm. comfort me. Your rod protects me. Mm-hmm. And then this, yes, okay. thank you. And the second part of that, of course, is probably a little bit longer typically for mm-hmm. a shepherd, but...
Or perfect height for me.
Or perfect height for me. If you're a shepherd, no, this
shepherd,
is the one.
Height.
This is the one. But this is about guidance. So yeah. going back to guidance, right, yeah. is around keeping the sheep in the space that the shepherd knows is safe for them mm-hmm. and protecting them with the rod and guiding them with the staff. And I just love the imagery of this, that God is our protector. Mm. He protects us. He goes before us. He stands behind us. He's all around us mm-hmm. and he guides us.
Yeah.
And that is a really beautiful reminder of how intimately involved he is, because shepherds never protect their sheep from a distance. Mm-hmm. They never guide their sheep from a distance. Mm-hmm. They are intimately 100% invested in the well-being of their sheep. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Protector. How do you feel when you hear that? Like, God is our protector. I think for a lot of women, many don't feel protected. Mm-hmm. We're in unsafe environments, mm-hmm. relationships, the world in which, and I say protection not just in physical, but in our thoughts,
yeah.
that we're not enough, that right. we're not good enough, we don't look good enough, mm-hmm. or even in ways of feeling unsafe in environments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that to me is so, it's like an exhale. Mm-hmm. God is our protector. He will protect us. Mm-hmm. I mean, we need to choose him to also be our protector. Mm-hmm. We also need to choose to...
Yeah.
to put good things in us, to
yeah.
Yeah, to trust. Mm-hmm. But the protector part is really, I think, resonates really deeply with me, because it feels like, for me as a woman, that is key. Because
mm-hmm.
you want safety.
You yeah.
want the protection mm-hmm. from just the stuff that's happening.
Yeah.
And I think that's just a good reminder. And I think this is a really good reminder. Like, he's out there
yep.
doing this. I think yeah. that's a good visual for us to think.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
He's not just like standing there,
yeah.
but he's actually out there
protecting.
Defending and
yes.
protecting against
yes.
things that are
yes.
that are harming us.
And pursuing us and bringing us back. We
yeah.
know about, you know, Jesus talks about leaving the 99. And I think that that's very, very true about how we know that this is how he comes to get us. And sheep are prone to wander. We are prone to wander.
Yeah.
And I think that reminder of the good shepherd guides his sheep back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think sometimes we get stuck on being rescued.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't even want to know the danger is on the horizon. I don't want to be touched, scathed. Mm-hmm. I just want to live a nice, comfortable life. And I think what's interesting about that verse is that God is comforting us, mm-hmm. not avoiding the issue completely. God is with us in the challenges, with the fight, as he's fighting off all the things. And I think sometimes when we do experience some harm, we're sometimes unaware of the unseen harm that God is protecting mm-hmm. us from.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of feels like God is not near, when we have no idea the ways that he is protecting us and the ways that he's going before us. So I think that's comforting, but at the same time, I'm like, God, can you protect me a little bit more? Like, can you, like, I don't want any pain. And I think that's where our struggle is. A little pain sometimes feels like God is not there at all.
And yet he always is.
And he always is.
And we learned that. I think about what you were sharing about my father, because I got, growing up, there was times that I went to places and did things I probably shouldn't have done. But my dad sat me down one day and he said, Helen, there's going to be times you you do something you're not proud of. You may be stuck in a place. And he said, I want you to know, though, your first phone call is to me and I will come and rescue you. Whatever you need, call me first. And it was such a safety. And I didn't ever want to disappoint my dad, but a couple of times I needed to call him. But he let me know I'll be there. Like we talk about bringing you back. And it was such a security. So when I think of safety, my dad or my husband has always made me feel safe. But I learned that and I've certainly seen it from God. But that beautiful thing of so often when we get outside of where we should be, we're afraid to call on God. We're afraid to admit I messed up. And yet God is saying, I'll be there. I'll bring you back. I'm there. And you might need to learn a lesson in this, but I will do it with the kindest way possible to bring you home.
That's good. I love that. Well, okay, verses 5-6. God is our host and promise keeper. So you prepare a table before me, you, in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, wow.
Yeah, so good.
God is our host.
Yeah.
What does that mean? As women who do host people within our home, what does that do for you? That God is our host.
You know what my immediate picture is?
What?
A table for two.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I just, that he sets a table. And it's a table for two. And I mean, obviously, he's got a big, big, big family. But the intimacy, you talked about proximity. He's close.
What is that? That's
close. He's really close, like a table for two. It's you and me, God. You've set a table. And the fact is, there are enemies surrounding me. You know that. But we live in a very hostile environment. This world is not friendly to us. But God and us, he is hosting us. And he's sitting with us. And he's leading us. And he's intimately connected to us. And that's the visual I get. Yeah. It may be, I think about Louis Giglio wrote a book, and I heard him preach the message, there's no seat at the table for the enemy. Don't invite, don't pull up a chair and let him sit there too. It's between you and God. And that's how I see it in my visual.
I like that. I never thought of that. And I also am seeing a beautiful feast of my favorite food.
That's what I see.
Eating. Let me tell you, beautiful food.
You're a foodie.
One-on-one. I'm a foodie. One-on-one, sitting, eating, feasting together. He's lavishing that on us. But there's an intimacy to say, I will prepare a table before you.
Beautiful.
I love
that. With that feast is like, I want the things on the feast that I don't need, that I need, that I want, sorry. I want things at the table that I want. So I want the fried food, I want the desserts, I want all those things. Meanwhile, God has the things that I actually need at the table, and it's in abundance. The love is overflowing, the goodness, his oil is just overflowing at this table, and I'm like, wow, like with this, I don't need anything else. This is all
beautiful.
I need.
That's a beautiful picture of that, and when I think about a host, the places where I have been hosted well, there's a warmth and a celebration that have arrived. And I when you said that word, when you said, like, talk a little bit about that, I felt a little bit emotional, actually, because I thought the joy that he has in us, in hosting us, and being close to us, and that we're celebrated by him. Like, that's very special. Very special.
It is.
The second part of that is he is our promise keeper. Promise keeper.
Surely goodness, surely goodness and mercy will follow us. Surely is a guarantee. I think nowadays
it's
a guarantee. And nowadays we talk about it almost like, I sure hope, right? But it's not that way at all. In fact, historically, the Hebrew word for surely actually connects to actively pursues. So it's a guarantee, it's a promise. I guarantee you that goodness and mercy will follow you for the rest of your days.
Beautiful. And that's the promise.
That's
the promise keeper, that surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Dwell in the house of the Lord.
And being able to rest in his promises. Like, wow.
It's beautiful, because we've had promises broken to us, haven't we?
Yes.
There have been a lot of promise broken. Yep. And God is the covenant keeper. And that's hard for us mm-hmm. when we don't have a parent who we can trust, or mm-hmm. we've had experiences where people have abandoned us or betrayed yeah. us, and we have felt like the promises. Mm-hmm. So it can feel a little bit sketchy a little bit, but God is the covenant keeper. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He keeps his promises. It's a guarantee 100%.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And that's it. Just, we can rest in that.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Helen.
I just feel like it's so good to think about areas in our life where we feel like, God, were you really there for me? And have a good hard look and you'll see he sure was. Like, where was God in that moment? I can't think, you know, we sing that song, The Goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. And I know that for a fact. And I just think that it's a challenge, because I think sometimes our language, we're looking for where people have disappointed us. And we have been disappointed, like you said, yeah. broken promises, but he hasn't. Never. And I think if we really look at our heart, we will recognize not one time in our entire life has he stood at a distance or away or abandoned us. He's been close.
Yeah.
Promise keeper. You want to almost sing the song. I feel like Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. You know, I think this is really important too, that sometimes why I brought Psalm 23, sometimes we look at scripture and it's like, oh, it's just Psalm 23. Yeah. It's the thing on our, you know, in our poster, and we say it, and you know, but I think this conversation is to remind us to go back into scriptures that may be familiar and find the gold nuggets, read it again, like how we broke it down, and sit and listen, meditate on it, and on a soul level, listen and ask God, God's Spirit, to talk to you and show you something anew and afresh in the scripture and verse. Well, thank you so much. I know I'm standing here with the rod and the staff. Thank you, Helen, Sunita, and Nicole. Amazing conversation. This is really key, I think, to see this visual that the Lord is your shepherd.
Yeah.
He is your protector, restorer, your guide. He is the one for you, preparing a table, just you and him, with all of your favorite foods, because he loves you. And in the presence of your enemies, he's with you. So I just want to remind you of that. And thank you. Thank you for reminding me of that too. So seeherlove.com for all the information about us, our events, our free resources, to watch our past shows, and ways to join our community. It's all there on our website. Also, to download our free Bible study guides, Unknown Women of the Bible, Jesus Encounters Women of the Bible, Unnamed Women of the Bible, all there at seeherlove.com/Bible study. Follow us on Instagram for behind the scenes clips, daily inspiration, all the things you want to know, fun things about us, even me with like eye patches on my eyes too, and fun things about our guests as well. And as we close today, may you remember that the Lord is your shepherd. You are not lacking. You are not forgotten. You're not alone. And wherever today finds you, on the mountaintop or valley, he is near. He walks with you, restoring your soul and leading you in peace. And he prepares a place for you, even in the presence of challenge or adversity. Surely goodness and mercy are following you right here and right now. And if you need prayer because you feel like you are in the valley today and you need a reminder that you'll make it through, call our prayer line at 1-866-273-4444. And someone will be there to listen and pray with you. Thanks for joining us. Bye-bye.
The Bible can feel overwhelming, confusing, or hard to believe. Scripture Untangled, a new podcast by the Canadian Bible Society, brings you interviews with culture leaders, leaders in ministry, and Bible thinkers to help you be inspired to dive into the Bible and understand it. Listen for free and subscribe to Scripture Untangled on your preferred podcast app. Visit scriptureuntangled.ca for more information.
Thank you for joining See Hear Love with Melinda Esterbrooks. This podcast is a Crossroads Media production. Until next time, always remember, you are seen, you are heard, and you are loved by God.